T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
A man who covered a Steelers game in person. No longer on Zoom. He was there at Heinz Field for that Raiders upset over the Steelers. No doubt he'll be back on Sunday for the Bengals AFC North action. He is the king of Steelers media, the Hall of Famer himself, Mr. Ed Bouchette. Hi, Ed. I'm still pissed about the Deontay Johnson thing. And I wanted to
get it out of your system.
I wanted to know if you share my frustration that he got injured on a meaningless play at the end of Sunday's game.
Yeah, he did. I mean, you can't live in your fears, right? But still, I mean, what are they trying to do?
Unless it's fourth and one.
Hold on. If it's fourth and one, Ed, then you can live very much in your fears.
Well, that, to me, is different than living in your fears. I don't know. The fourth and one was, I agree, they should have gone for it.
How about down 9 with 20-something seconds left, having a wide receiver who's already banged up still in the game?
You should take a knee. You're putting everybody at risk there. Didn't Buffalo take the knee at the end of that game up there?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you do. What are you doing?
What mindset even contributes to that?
Oh, we never say die, that kind of mentality.
I just don't understand. I mean,
we never wave the white flag. We're the Steelers.
I understand that football guys' brains are probably wired differently than the general population, but I just do not see anything, especially at the professional level. These guys are all paid. You're not trying to teach lessons here. That just seems remarkably
high-schoolish.
Yeah, high-schoolish. Yeah. If Joe Judge did it, that would be one thing.
Not Dan Campbell.
Yeah, not Mike Tomlin.
I don't have an explanation for you. I agree that it was, you know, foolish.
Ed, you know what? I love when I see eye to eye with you. I love when you and me kind of get lumped into the same category because you lend credibility to my opinions, knowing that we're seeing eye to eye on something. And you and me both read into the no huddle comments right after the game with Ben. We don't have no huddle. What the hell is that all about?
Yeah, that struck me right away, and I had it lower in my story. I probably should have had it higher because I wasn't really sure what it meant. You know, sometimes you can double back and ask these guys questions when under normal circumstances, but you can't anymore. So, you know, I'm still not sure what it meant. Mike Tomlin explained it the other day that it was just for one game. But why would you do it just for – why would you say we're not putting the no-huddle in for this game? Under any circumstances, we're not running it. Why would you do that? It seems to me they want to take away the play calling from the quarterback.
Ed, here's how I read Tomlin's answer to that. He was doing his best to cover for the fact that I thought Ben was just frustrated, and I understand why. Ben is the no huddle. If he's out on the field, I would presume that a no huddle can be run because Ben
That's what Canada said today.
Because Ben can just say, I'm going to run the no huddle. Let's go. Let's speed it up and try to throw these guys off. I thought Tomlin was doing his best, and not a very good job at that, to cover that sort of remark and paper over it.
Yeah, he may well have, you know. But and the one thing I don't agree with a lot of people saying that he should have asked the quarterback. I don't think you should ever ask the quarterback. You're the coach. You make the decision. the quarterback always wants to go for it on fourth and one. Always wants to go for it, right? I mean, you ever see a quarterback say, "Nah, we better not try that." They always
want to
go
for it.
So you don't ask the quarterback, but I still think they should have gone for it.
Ed, Todd Haley said today that Ben Roethlisberger is playing like a guy who doesn't trust his offensive line. Makes sense, but how does he start to trust his line? How do you coach that into him? Believe in these guys who suck.
Well, they have to start blocking. I mean, that's how you build trust, you block. That's their job, to block, right? If they don't block, how are you going to trust them? You know, guys are getting pushed back into him. People are saying, why doesn't he throw over the middle? Maybe there's too many people in his face to throw it straight over the middle, you know? But the only way to do it is get out on the side. And once you get out on the side, if you're throwing over the middle, you're throwing across your body, which he could do, but you really don't want to do that.
Ed, do you think there are – how would you be using Najee Harris if you were the Steelers right now within the framework of that offense? Do you think they're using him properly or the right way at this juncture?
Well, I don't know what the wrong way is, Chris. You know, if there's no blocking, the whole running game, you could put Jim Brown in there in his prime and he's not going to get anything. Just not. So I don't know what Najee can do. I mean, he had a couple nice 14-yard runs. He had turned that 5-yard short pass. I had it 5, some had it even shorter, into the 25-yard touchdown. So he's shown us he can do things, but nobody's going to do it if there's no blocking. It just can't.
And I heard Chris Hoke say today that the Steelers need to commit to the run.
Well, that's easy to say if you know. And Jerome told me that last year. I called him when they weren't running the ball very well, and he said they're not committing to it. I don't know about the case last year, but the case this year is if you commit to it, you're just going to get a bunch of one-yard runs. That to me is, I mean, so what's that going to do for you? You can't commit to something that's not working. That's my feeling.
Well, I heard the rebuttal from Hoke was put two tight ends and a fullback in the game and from a personnel standpoint, commit to it. Do that.
This isn't 1976, you know? I mean, I love Chris, but it just it doesn't.
Well, you're paying a fullback like it's 1976, Ed.
Well, the thing is, maybe they're trying to not, you know, not make two mistakes. The first mistake was signing him. And the second mistake maybe would be to play him more. Maybe they have determined
Oh, God, you're making me feel even better.
Maybe they determined he can't help them. And when you say two tight ends to block, I hope one of them is not Eric Ebron, because he can't.
I don't know why he's on the roster, so, but that's...
Well, he's on the roster now because they paid him and they restructured his contract.
I know.
This was a decision they should have made way back in February or March.
I'm with you, Ed. I'm laughing
Derek
now.
Watt.
I was thinking. No, I know. Well, they're paying Derek Watt like the World Football League tried to pay Larry Zonka or whatever. My God, for like fullback
and
money.
Jim Kick. I think they swiped both away from the.
They did.
Hey, look,
NFL.
This is nothing against Derek Watt because we don't know if he can block because we haven't seen enough of him. He's a good special teams player, although I don't know. I don't notice him on special teams.
Me
that
either.
Much, so.
He's not like Steve Tasker.
Yeah, he's not
right,
so Benny Cunningham or one of those guys.
Right. I don't know what he's doing that is worthy of $3 million, but, you know.
Why did they sign
he's
him?
Not the one.
I mean.
I don't know. And the theory that they signed him to make TJ happy is ludicrous, right? What makes TJ happy was the contract they just signed him to.
Yeah.
I would rather
contract. He's signing that contract whether Derek Watt is here or with the Cleveland Browns.
Correct.
Ed, I'm dead serious here. Even though it would be one less player on the roster, I would rather have seen them sign TJ Watt to a deal that paid him $3 million more annually every year of that guaranteed money than have Derek Watt collecting a $3 million a year paycheck. I'm 100% serious in saying that.
Oh, I'm with you. I mean, and it's nothing against Derek. I mean, it's just the fact they're not using him. And I have no idea why. Like I said, maybe they just don't want to use a fullback. But that's fine. But why did you sign him then?
Right. Ed, I think you were among Steelers media that gave the team credit for their late additions, guys like Melvin Ingram and Joe Schober, and I would agree with that. But there's still $11 million in cap space, and the line sucks. So
yeah,
to me, that's well. But how did you mismanage? How did you have that money just sitting around? How instead of signing guys like Joe Haig and Rashad Coward, why didn't you sign better offensive line free agents?
Well, that's a good question.
You had enough money.
I mean, that's a good question. And maybe they were oversold on their young players. I don't know. You know, maybe they thought Zach Banner was an up and coming good right tackle, and he still may be. He's hurt. Maybe they thought Chooks could do what he, you know, can't do. and Dan Moore, and I've saw it at practice. I don't know what they saw in Kendrick Green. Maybe eventually he's going to be good, but he's getting pushed around in practice in the summer.
Ed, I'm going to stick with the offensive line. You are the dean of Steelers media, the king. We play royal music for you. That is owing to your extensive experience covering this team for a long time. Can you ever? I'm asking this with an optimistic bent, or I'm going to ask you for some positivity if you can give it to us. Can you ever remember there being a year where they had an offensive line that was this inexperienced, and you remember distinctly that line getting considerably better from the start of the year to the end of it, where like you noticed it, it was a story, it was something that people talked about?
You know, they had a bunch of them in the 1980s. And even into the early 90s, I think, you know, remember they drafted Jermaine Stephens in the first round, and
oh,
he was terrible. You know, they
pride of North Carolina A&T, Jermaine Stephens.
Yeah, but I can't remember a specific season, but I'm betting there were, except for this one thing, they always had somebody at center. You know, they had Hall of Famers at center. Jermaine Dawson was there from, 89 through 2000. So they couldn't be as bad as they are now because he was in there.
Do you, Ed, do you think, I know Pouncey wasn't playing very well last year, but do you think they were a little bit surprised by his decision to retire?
No, I think somebody probably dropped a suggestion on him. That would be my theory.
Well, that makes, then honestly, to me, it's interesting that you say that. That makes their decision to neglect that position till the third round and take Green, unless he improves a lot. But like you said, I'm with you. He's getting pushed around.
Well, but Ed,
that makes the decision even worse to take him.
And Ed has been not like a quiet advocate. He said it on the show with us a lot. He thinks Hassenhauer should have been given more of a chance.
I mean, it reflects
right,
poorly on everything they've done with that
and
position.
Yeah, and hey, look, I'm not the line coach. I'm not the head coach. They deal with these guys more. I assume they think Kendrick Green is better than Hassenhauer, or they'd be crazy not to try Hassenhauer, right? I mean, that's my feeling. I don't know any other reason why they'd sit there and watch this guy get pushed around and say, well, we have a better guy behind him, but we want to see this Kendrick Green grow into the job. I don't know that would be the case.
Ed, I'm going to give you another Monday morning quarterback take on the offense. And it's going to come off as a second guess, but I wondered out loud about it when it happened. So if you're committing to Roethlisberger for another year, why would you impose a new offensive coordinator on him at 39 years old? If it's about running it back and making sure that he doesn't go out the way that he did against the Browns, why would you force Canada on him and not just run it back with Fichtner for another year?
Didn't they change the coordinator before Ben agreed to come back? I'm pretty sure that was the case, that they dumped
Yeah,
Fichtner.
I think you're right. I think you're right
and
about
then,
that.
So maybe that was their plan, and they go, you know what, Ben, this is what we're doing. It's up to you, you know? Maybe they didn't know if Ben was coming back. I don't know, but that was the plan was.
But if you're trying to get the best out of Ben, wouldn't it make more sense for him to have somebody that he's comfortable with than a new coach who's never called plays in the NFL before?
They didn't do that with Todd Haley. That's for sure when they hired him.
Yeah, but Ben wasn't in his last year then.
But Haley had been
the head coach of a playoff team.
Yeah, I know, but you know, it's obvious they are not doing this to placate Ben, right? They didn't do it with Haley. They didn't do it this time.
I mean, Ed, am I right to infer, though, from your timeline of events that they thought bringing Matt Canada in might be something where Ben Roethlisberger would see that and leave and they were going to be okay with that? And then he decided,
but then they would have still had that huge cap hit if he just retired.
But, yeah, okay, you live with that and
Chris,
move on.
I can't speculate that far. I can't. But they had
no. I'm the one doing the speculating. I'm not asking you to. When you said that, that was where my brain went.
But they did. I mean, they made the change first, and then Ben agreed to come back.
And
because
I
thought when they made the change, I said, "Well, Ben must be going to retire."
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Thinking back on it now, I'd love to know what their internal evaluation is of Minka through 2 weeks. Wouldn't you?
Well, I thought he played well the first week and not the second. That would be my opinion. But they moved him around. They had him fall on that Waller, the tight end. They did move him around. And I won't be that stop, really.
What? Wait, so you think it will stop? I'm sorry. You cut out there
for
a second.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I did a couple double negatives there. I would think that may stop.
The moving him around business.
Yes, and that you might find him at deep safety more often because that's where he's been most effective. It helped them in the first game. It really did. I don't think it did in the second game.
Can he be as good as maybe they I think, hope he can be if he's playing that far off the line of scrimmage that regularly, though?
Well, he was his first 2 years, right?
I thought he wasn't as good last year as he was in 2019.
No,
he was a force of nature.
You're right. A lot of people think he wasn't as good last year, but he didn't have as many Mike Tomlin splash plays last year. But I thought he played effectively.
Ed, thank you so much. It was great running into you on Sunday before the game.
I used to get there a lot earlier. You wouldn't have run into me, but I don't have to do TV anymore, so it was.
But you still have to do your radio hits on Sunday with Starkey.
I'm doing it with Paul Alexander, actually. He's the one I was doing it with. I did it with him this past Sunday, and he just texted me again. I'm doing it with him again this Sunday.
Congratulations on all your success. All right, Ed, we'll talk to you later, my friend.
All right, guys, see you later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.